Danny O'Neill joining us now, 710 ESPN Seattle for a Seahawks Tuesday. But hey, Danny, you got to be getting ready for the expansion draft. Are you doing any of your prep? Which Canucks goalie are you ready to steal? Jacob Markstrom or Thatcher Demko?
I like Demko. I get what Rundeep is saying about Marks and the affordability. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. I have no idea.
that was a jerk question by Dan Rich, anyway.
I was committed to pulling a farce. which one is more likely to stand on his head?
Well, I don't know. The Thatcher Demko did a pretty good job of that in the playoffs. But, hey, one of them could be on Seattle's team next year. I figured I was throwing you a bit of a curveball. It's bad on me. That's what we call a dangerous question in the business, pretty much.
You don't know. My entire audience.
But you almost pulled it off. You had me going there for a second. Almost pulled it off. I like it. So the Seattle Seahawks, what a performance they put out in week one. And I guess the prevailing thought is Pete Carroll and the Seahawks are finally letting Russ cook.
Yeah, that's definitely the storyline. And I think it remains to be seen how substantial the change is. Is this something that we're going to see over the course of the entire season? But for one game, a noticeable difference. The Seahawks were a team that their pass percentage, the percentage of plays that were passes in the first quarter, was the lowest of any team in the NFL, and it was substantially higher. 7 of the 11 plays on their opening drive in the game, which resulted in the touchdown, were passes. We saw they were more willing to put the ball in Russell Wilson's hands and not go about slogging it away with the run. So I certainly think that the early signs point to there's been a bit of a change in the way they're going to approach their offense.
Well, Danny, my Twitter timeline on Sunday was full of Seahawks media and fans saying, there we go, let Russ cook. On Monday, Pete Carroll in practice, or the availability after, talks about how they got to run the ball more. They got away from that. And the running backs need to get more touches. So what's a realistic expectation here for Seahawks fans going forward?
Well, I do think that you hope to see not necessarily the volume of passes. Like, I don't think anybody wants even the advocating the cooking approach. Say, like, he should average 35 passes a game this season. I think it's more about when he throws. I think it's about having and being willing to throw the ball more early in games and not go about the run pass sort of blueprint for it. I think Pete's playing coy, honestly, when you start saying about establishing running the ball. If they have made a wholesale shift, like, you don't want to advertise it. Like, if they're going to come out with that, hey, that's the template, what we just did in Atlanta, that's what we're going to expect to do each and every game, you're certainly not going to tell anybody that, right? It would be to your advantage, and I think you can debate how much of an advantage it is to say, like, yeah, we got to get back to running the ball.
And you know, it just felt, and it's been like this for a long time, but the Seahawks and Pete Carroll almost make things more difficult on themselves. Like, they live in those close games. They thrive on it almost. And the reality is, when you have a guy like Russ and all the weapons on offense that he has now to work with, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. And then the rest of the game script against Atlanta is a lot more comfortable than we normally see the Seahawks have to play.
Yeah, I would say you're exactly right, Dan. And the most important play in my mind in that game was they reached 4th and 5. It's their first possession of the third quarter. It's about 5 minutes in, and they're in very long field goal range. They were at the 36, Atlanta 36. They're facing a 3rd and 3, and they ran this pitch play to Travis Homer. He gets stuffed for a 2-yard loss. It's 4th and 5, and everything in me prepared for the punt. I've watched Pete Carroll and seen his decision-making. I'm like, that's probably too long for him to attempt a field goal. They're probably going to punt it and try to pin him in inside the 10 and say, like, let's win field position. Instead, they went 4th and 3 for the end zone. And in my mind, that's exactly the type of decision you should make with a quarterback like Russell Wilson. Instead of trying to nurse this 2-point lead and say, hey, we'll take 30 yards of field position, hopefully. No, man, try and stick it in there. Try and put it in the end zone. Possessions are more important than 20 yards of field position. And I thought that that was a great example of, instead of trying to sort of play it close and look to get the game to the fourth quarter, take some opportunities, take some chances, take some shots, and they absolutely did that there.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Danny O'Neill of 710 ESPN Seattle. And Danny, you talk about the offense, so much good there. And across the board, there was a lot of good, but that defense gave up over 500 total yards. Is that a concern, or do you think it was just inflated by the game script and the, you know, the opponent?
I'm worried not about the yards, but about the question of getting stops. They got fourth down stops. They did not get third down stops in the game. And they forced only two punts. So I don't really worry at all about the volume of yards that they gave up. I think Matt Ryan passed for 450 yards. There were three different receivers who had more than 100 yards. Here's the weirdest stat. So Pete Carroll's, this is his 11th season. That's the eighth time an opposing quarterback has thrown for 400 or more yards against Seattle. Eight times in 11 years. Seattle's 8-0 in those games. And, like, I'm not going to say that, hey, that's the formula to win, but I think it shows sort of the hollow nature of passing yards in that it can show a team that gets to a big lead and then Pete goes, hey, we're playing the clock as much as we're playing the opponent. Let them complete passes, just do not get beat deep. And there was a little bit of that going on late in that game against Atlanta. So my concern is that they really didn't. If Atlanta makes a couple of those fourth down conversions, entirely different game. So I think my question, as opposed to the yards, is whether or not they can get the stops when they need them.
Early thoughts on the NFC West. I mean, Rams with a pretty big win over the Dallas Cowboys, who I think are going to be pretty good this year. Obviously, the Cardinals beating the 49ers, showing that they're not going to be an easy out this year. It's we talked about it all offseason. It's going to be the toughest division. Your early thoughts on how the division is going to shape up?
Yeah, I do think Arizona looked good. Their offense looked really good. I'd like to see a couple more weeks to determine what that defense looks like. I thought San Francisco looked terrible. And that's not just, but it does tie into, I didn't think Jimmy Garoppolo played very well. And coming off of that Super Bowl, I think the biggest question for the 49ers this year is that the guy? Is that the guy that you're really going to go with, or are you going to need to get a different quarterback in there? And the early returns, because I didn't feel he was under overwhelming pressure, and I thought he looked bad. He's missing a lot of receivers there too, and now George Kittle's banged up. And I agree with you on the Rams. I thought they played a really tough football game. I don't know about Jalen Ramsey flopping to get that call late. Like, if you're one of the best corners in the league, should you be resorting to, like, embellishing contact to try to get a call? Or should you be trying to play football, I would think.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Danny O'Neill, 710 ESPN Seattle. Danny, wanted to get your thoughts also on Jamal Adams. First game as Seahawk. Early thoughts on him and how he kind of fits into that entire defense. And he, we know for one thing, he's not bored. He said it himself.
No, he's not. He did a lot of stuff. He's a pretty versatile piece. He looks pretty awesome, and I had heard the description they had used was he's a chess piece for us, and you certainly saw that. His ability to make one-on-one tackles in space while defending running backs stood out. As a pass rusher, he got a sack, and he did a great job of getting home. He also wasn't blocked on the play, so I don't want to make too much about that, but I do think they're going to give him opportunities to rush the passer. He had a couple great plays in coverage. There are a couple times he was matched up with Julio Jones and made great plays on the ball. He looks like a guy that they're going to give chances to do an awful lot of different things. And I think that you see when Pete Carroll gets a safety that is really skilled or really talented, there are a lot of different ways they can use that player. And over the past 3 years, and really the past two, the biggest issue is that they have not had playmakers at safety, and they do now with Jamal Adams, and he looked great. I thought he and Bobby Wagner were a Batman and Robin type combination out there on Sunday. They both played really good games.
Going to be a fun season. Thanks for this, Danny.
Hey, it's great to talk to you guys. Stay healthy and let's get that smoke cleared out of here, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of getting tiresome. Throwing me off my fitness routine, which is non-existent anyways. But I'm just going to stick to that story. Thanks, Danny.
Talk to you guys soon.
There he is, Danny O'Neill.